Welcome to the official podcast of Apostolic Lighthouse. We'd like to thank you for listening today. We pray this message blesses you and encourages you to see that God is working in your life. Enjoy the message.
Thank you so much for being here. John 19:16. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which is in Aramaic called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Amen. And I want to preach on the subject for just a few minutes, the man in the middle. Hallelujah. Let's praise him one more time as you're seated. God bless you. Amen. Lord, we love you and we appreciate you. Amen. Have your way, Lord, in our lives today, God. Let your word speak to us as we remember what you did for us and as we appreciate and praise you, God, for your sacrifice and for all you did, God, to die in our place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. The man in the middle. Though there were three men crucified that fateful day, 2,000 years on Mount Calvary or Golgotha's hill, it doesn't take long to realize that there was something very special and unique, amen, about the man in the middle that set him apart from the other two in remarkable ways. First of all, he was the only innocent man being crucified that day. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." 1 Peter 2:22 said, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth." He was the innocent one. 1 John 3:5, "And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him." And secondly, the greatest thing about the man in the middle, that not only was he not he wasn't an ordinary baby when he was born. He wasn't an ordinary boy when he was growing up. He was far from an ordinary man when he walked this earth. Praise God. When he came, great things happened. People said he speaks as one with authority and not as these other religious leaders, because when he spoke, things happened. When he spoke, miracles happened. Praise God. He wasn't just an ordinary man. Something very special about the man in the middle. Praise God. Amen. He was planning on being at one feast in Jerusalem during his earthly ministry, and the Pharisees knew he was going to be there. They sent some soldiers there to take him and bring him by force. Amen. And then when Jesus got up and spoke, the soldiers came back to the Pharisees without Jesus and said, "Hey, we told you to go get him and bring him here." And they said in 7:46 of John, the officers answered, "Never has a man spoken the way this man speaks. We couldn't get him. There's something different about him." Praise God. Amen. When Jesus came back to his own home country of Nazareth, the Bible said when in 13:54 of Matthew, when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, and so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" Amen. Something very special about this man. Matthew 8:27, praise God, when he fell asleep in the boat and the apostles were crossing the Sea of Galilee, when they started their journey, everything was fine, but a huge storm came. Amen. And they woke Jesus up and said, "Look, we're going under. We're going to sink. This is not good." And he went to the bow of the boat. Amen. He spoke to that storm and said, "Peace, be still." And the Bible said in Matthew 8:27, the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" I'm telling you, there's something special about that man in the middle. Praise God. Amen. Jesus was teaching in a house in Luke chapter 5, and it was so crowded, amen, that people that wanted to bring in their paralytic friend that could not move and needed healing, and they went up on the roof, and they tore a hole in the roof, and they let him down, amen, on his little cot, amen, with ropes right down in the middle of where Jesus was teaching, and it was wall to wall, and people out listening through the windows, amen, and Jesus spoke to that man, and he healed him, praise God. And the Bible said they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today because of this man." Amen. And even at his death, people that did not believe, amen, Gentile Roman soldiers, amen, pagan worshipers, amen, when they saw what he did on that cross, he was on the cross from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon when he passed away and he gave up his last breath. And when he did and he died and the clouds overshadowed, amen, and the earth shook, amen, and it was a great physical happening on the earth when that happened, and there's the centurion watched it all, and when Jesus hung his head and died, he said, now in the centurion, Matthew 27:54, and when they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The man in the middle, amen. When Jesus was on the cross, he was not only in the middle horizontally between the other two, amen, but more importantly, he was in the middle vertically between God, between heaven and earth, between God and us. Amen. John 12:32, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." A lot of people think of that as, well, we worship him and we lift him up in worship and we'll draw all men to him. Amen. But that's not the context of this passage. That does work. Amen. But what he's saying is, you tell people, amen, that I was lifted up for him. You go out there and say, "I was crucified." You go out there and say, "God, amen, who did not have blood or could not die, amen, he purposely and willingly subjected himself to humanity so that he could suffer and die for us. Amen. You go tell him about that, and I'll draw all men unto me." Praise God. Because he said this, he said, signifying what death he should die. When Jesus went to the cross, he made the ultimate sacrifice. Amen, so that we could have forgiveness of sins and be saved. John 3, Jesus said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." In both of these verses, Jesus mentions being lifted up. And when he hung on the cross, he was literally suspended between heaven and earth. The man in the middle. Praise God, his sacrificial death, amen, he willingly put himself between God and us. 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Praise God. He bridged the gap. People were far away from God. Amen. And it was getting worse as we saw through the Old Testament. So God had to do something. He sent prophets. He sent his word. He sent this. He did that. He goes, "You know what?" He goes, "I'm going to come myself. I'm going to do this job, this situation. I'm going to take care of it. Amen. I'm going to save the people I made in my image. If they're willing and if they want it to, amen, I'll die for them so that they can, if they want, have eternal life through me." He bridged the gap between God and us so that we could be redeemed and we could be restored in right standing with God. Amen. So the only perfect and sinless person who ever lived and whoever will live, amen, took our place and died on the cross for our sins that we could live an abundant life right now on earth, an overcoming life, amen, a life of peace and joy and fulfillment and excitement, amen, and true happiness, praise God, and then someday spend eternity forever with him, praise God. The Apostle John used the word propitiation to describe what Jesus did for us on the cross. 1 John 2:2, and he is, talking about Jesus, the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation means substitution or atonement. He substituted us. In other words, we should have been on that cross. Amen. We, like the thief on each side of him, amen, the thieves, we should have been on that cross. Praise God. But a sinless one, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, he willingly put himself without sin. He took our sin so that we could have the righteousness of God in him. Apostle Paul put it this way, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Some people will die, you know, you'll hopefully die for your kids or your family or, you know, save somebody. You'll run in a burning building. Even if it's somebody you don't even know, you try to go save somebody. Amen. You think they're a good person, your loved ones or whatever. But God, he commended his love toward us. Amen. Not when we were a good person, but we were sinners. Amen. We were away from him. He still died. He still went the whole way for us. Praise God. Amen. The two other men that were crucified with Jesus were legitimate criminals. They were thieves. Matthew 27:38. Then were the two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Luke 23:32 said there were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now these two people had two very different views of Jesus. They had two very different ways of looking at, you know, Jesus on the cross with them and what Jesus meant to them. Amen. And it's very important to see their different views. Luke 23:39, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other thief, answering, rebuked that other thief, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then that one thief, he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, folks, whatever our view of Jesus is, depends on our future. It depends on where we're going. Amen. Not only in this life, but the next life. Praise God. I don't want to be like that other thief and blaspheming him and thinking he should just be another thief up here with me. Amen. Oh, no. I want to be like that other guy. Praise God. And say, this man did nothing wrong. He's really the Son of God. Amen. Lord, remember me. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Amen. That sounds pretty good to me. I want to go to paradise. Whatever you want to call heaven, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to paradise. I want to go to Abraham's bosom. I want to go to a place of rest, a place of joy. Amen. A place of peace where there's no pain and no sorrow and never any tears of pain and sorrow ever again. You'll never, ever, ever have a broken heart, a bad day, a down day, another fear again. Amen. In the place where Jesus wants you to go. But how do you view Jesus? How you view Jesus? It's important to know who you think Jesus is. Amen. When Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi, he met with his apostles and he said, hey, what's the word on the street? Who do people out there say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, well, some of you say that you're one of the prophets, or some of you say either this or that or whatever, but who do you guys think that I am? And none of them spoke up except Peter. And he finally said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're God in human form. You're the invisible God made visible. And he said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. And when you understand who Jesus is, amen, you're on the right road to paradise. Praise God. Amen. So how do you view Jesus? Is he just a man to you? Is he just a prophet to you? Amen. Or is he Almighty God manifest in human form to you? Because if you view him as your Lord and God, you're on the right track this morning. If you view him as your God and Savior, then you can be forgiven of your sins and be filled with his Spirit and be saved and ready to meet your Maker. Woo! Praise God. You can have a life full of joy, peace, hope, and purpose. Amen. It depends on how you view him. Just before Jesus breathed his last breath on the cross, he said these three words. John 19:30. Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Amen. It is finished. Amen. That phrase, "it is finished," in the Greek means to discharge a debt, to pay off in full. It is paid in full. The debt of sin is paid in full. And whosoever will wants to take that to your heart, all you got to do is obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be born again of the water and spirit. Amen. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which is what we're celebrating, remembering this weekend. Amen. With Good Friday and today. Amen. That's what we're talking about. Praise God. It's paid in full. It's finished. He paid the price for you. Now it's up to you. Amen. To desire it. Praise God. Amen. He paid the price for our sins, shed his blood that we might have remission, forgiveness of sins through him. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the sin cleansing, soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Amen. Would you stand with me?
What an incredible message. Thank you again for joining us on the podcast, and may God bless you.